passages from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50. And I'll be reading verses 22 through 26. Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 through 26. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And so Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110. And after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Second passage for you to look at this morning is from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll be reading verse 22. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of Israel, of the Israelites from Egypt, and gave instructions about his bones. Thus the reading of God's holy and inerrant word this morning. In the ancient world, it was a place in which the place where you were actually buried, it had a very, very significant meaning. It was believed by many kings and by many nations that the place where you were buried and put into the ground was the place where you would be raised again to live in the next life. And they even went a step further. It was believed by many of those kings and by many of those nations that the people or the things that you were buried with in this life would also be raised with you and be with you in the next life for you to again enjoy. Now you can see that a nation or a king, a person who lived in that nation, could sometimes be considered in a dangerous situation. Years ago, it was discovered in China that an ancient king who had risen to power through the mighty army that he had acquired, the powerful army which had conquered various nations and peoples around him who had helped him rise to power, this king loved his army so much that he wanted his army with him in the next life. And so years ago, as they were digging in China, the archaeologists discovered that this king had buried with him his entire army and all of their weapons, included with statues which showed how they used those weapons that they buried. So much did this king love his army that in the next life he wanted to have his army with him again so that he could rule in the same way. It has also been discovered that the Scythians, also of the ancient world, had lived a very wealthy life and had a very, very luxurious lifestyle. So much did these kings love their life on earth and the pleasures of this world and the servants who took care of them that when they died, they wanted that to be their life in the next life. And so they buried their possessions. They buried their servants, all with them in the ground. It was no different for the ancient pharaohs of Egypt. The Egyptian nation was one of the most powerful nations on this earth. They were wealthy, they always had water as the Nile River flowed through their land. And so when the pharaohs of the Egyptian dynasties died, they wanted to be buried in pyramids. They wanted to have inside of those pyramids many of their jewels and their wealthy things that they had acquired in this life, so that in the next life, when they were raised, they could also have these jewels and be rich in the next life. You can see the pattern here. It is people who live their life in this present world and so much enjoy this present world and the things that they have that they want to have in the next world the same kind of life that they had in this world. And anything less than they had in this world would be a great disappointment. Joseph in Egypt was one of those. In Genesis 47, you want to turn with me, Genesis 47, verses 23 to 25, it tells us how the people looked to Joseph. Joseph 47, verses 23 to 25. Joseph said to the people, "Now that I have bought you and your land today for Pharaoh, here is the seed for you so that you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, give a fifth of it to Pharaoh. The other four-fifths you may keep as seed for the fields and as food for yourselves and your households and for your children. You have saved our lives," they said. "May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. We will be in bondage to Pharaoh." Joseph had interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. Pharaoh dreamed that there would be 7 years of good crops, 7 years of drought. Joseph was the one who interpreted the dream. Joseph is the one who organized the storing up of the grain. And when the 7 years of drought came, the Egyptians and all the nations of the world came to Joseph and they said, "We will be enslaved to Pharaoh, your master. You have saved our lives. We will sell our property and whatever we have to Pharaoh. You have saved our lives. You are our Lord. We will be in bondage to Pharaoh." Joseph in his life had done a great thing. If Joseph were alive today, he probably would have won the Nobel Peace Prize. He had organized a saving of a group of a tremendous amount of people, and not only for his own people, but for the Egyptians and for other nations of the world who came to buy grain from Egypt because they had no food. Yet when we look at the book of Hebrews, what does it tell us in Hebrews 11, verse 22? Does it tell us that Joseph wanted to have a pyramid built for him so that all of his accomplishments on earth could be remembered? What does it tell us? "By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones." Why? Why would Joseph not want to be buried as the Egyptian pharaohs? Why would he not want to have the riches with him buried into a pyramid? Why wouldn't he want to have all the Israelites who lived in the land of Egypt look to that pyramid and say, "There is our Joseph. Joseph came, he rescued the Egyptians, he rescued us, he saved the lives of the world"? Why does Joseph not want that? In fact, Joseph wants to leave Egypt. He doesn't want to be buried there. Well, the answer is found in Joseph's faith. And what did Joseph have faith in? Well, turn to Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis 15, God gives a promise to Abraham, Joseph's great-great-grandfather. Actually, his great-grandfather. God gives a promise to Abraham, Joseph's great-grandfather. In Genesis 15, verse 12, here is the promise made to Abraham. "As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, 'Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a strange country, not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that they were as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sins of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Joseph had this covenant promise that was given to Abraham. And Joseph's forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all wandered upon this earth. But God had given this promise that someday the descendants of Abraham were going to be strangers in a strange country that was not their own, that someday they would be enslaved. And someday that nation that enslaved them would be punished for enslaving them. And Joseph knew that he was God's instrument to do that. Joseph's life and his accomplishments were not centered upon how he had saved the world and all the great things he had done for the Egyptians and how everyone in the world looked up to him for what he had done. Joseph's future, Joseph's hope, was that he was the instrument of God to bring Jacob and his brothers all to Egypt so that they could raise up and become a nation. And Joseph, by faith, believed that this nation was not their home, but they had to go to another place. You see, Joseph knew the story of Genesis. Joseph didn't have the book of Genesis. Moses didn't write that till the Israelites were in the wilderness. But Joseph knew what we know. Joseph knew that in the beginning, God created the world. And in the beginning, God created this world, this garden where Adam and Eve, Joseph's first parents, lived, where our first parents live. And in this world, they enjoyed complete fellowship with God. They enjoyed happiness. They enjoyed peace. Satan came along. He tempted them, and they fell into sin. And the fellowship with God was broken. No longer could they dwell with God in this land. And Joseph saw the promise to Abraham that someday you can again dwell with God. I promise that your descendants will someday dwell with me in a special land where you can glorify me and enjoy me forever. And Joseph saw his father Abraham, his father Isaac, his father Jacob all wander on the earth, never finding the land. And finally, Joseph brought them to the land of Egypt where they would be in slavery. And Joseph knew that this wasn't the end. This was not fellowship to God. His fellowship with God would not come with him being in a pyramid with thousands of possessions and thousands of jewelry and all kinds of things, but his future was in the land of the living, a land of fellowship with God. In fact, Joseph believed that the land that he lived in Egypt, with his wealth, with his prosperity, with his luxury, was the land of death. That was not the land of the living. That was the land of slavery. You can see the contrast here, can't you? A king in China wants to be buried with his army because he wants to have his army with him in the next life. He wanted to have the same thing in this life as he had. He wanted the same thing in the next life as he had in this life. A Scythian king wants his future to be the same in this life, in the next life, as it was in this life. In other words, he wants his servants. He wants his wealth. He wants to enjoy happiness. His happiness is not found in the future, in heaven. His happiness is found in what he found on this earth. Joseph did not see it that way. He lived in Egypt with everything that he wanted. The people came to him and they called him their Lord. Yet Joseph saw that he had no hope in this land. His hope was in the promise that someday he would go out and he would leave this place. That is the faith of Joseph. He saw the land of the dead. He saw the land of the living. The land of the dead was wealth and possessions. The land of the living was fellowship with God. So many people today do not have the faith of Joseph. Joseph did not save up his possessions so that someday he could travel around and see the world. He did not live in Egypt constantly saving things for the future of his life on earth. He lived in Egypt knowing that he had no future on earth. Joseph did not live his life focused on saving up his things so that he could enjoy a beautiful home when he was older and enjoy his last days on earth. Joseph longed, says the author of Hebrews, from the exodus from that land. He longed for the day when they would no longer be in that land, but that they would be in the land of living, which was the land of God. Joseph wanted to be exodus from this world. That's why he did not save the things of this world. He was not caught up in what he could have on earth as the Scythian king was, as the Chinese king was. He was caught up in the future. If only people knew how important that faith of Joseph is. Paul talks about it in the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's just a couple of books back. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. Just a few books back. 1 Timothy 6, the verses 6 through 10. Look what the Apostle Paul says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and they into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Joseph did not live in Egypt, nor did he want his followers to live in Egypt, with the hope that he would have more. He lived, as it says, as Paul says, in contentment, in godliness. And look at the next verse there in verse 7. For Joseph brought nothing into the land of Egypt, and Joseph wanted to take nothing out of the land of Egypt. You see that there? Joseph did not give orders at the end of the book of Genesis for his brothers to bury him along with some of his possessions from Egypt, so with some of his accomplishments. Joseph gave orders that as he came out of Egypt, only to take his bones. Take my bones and bury them in the land of the living. I want to exodus myself from this land. I want to leave this land completely. That's the faith of Joseph. What Paul is describing in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is the land of slavery. Joseph doesn't want part of that land. He has seen what other kings and how they have died and what they have tried to do for their future. And he sees no hope in that, but his hope is in the promise. And he sees, as the Apostle Paul is warning, that people who try to save up these things, people who try to rest up their future, they quickly fall into the land of slavery. They quickly fall into misery. The faith of Joseph sees beyond. The faith of Joseph is satisfied. Some people are never satisfied. They always want more. Once they get this, they also need this. Once they have this, they also want this. Joseph's faith is the testimony that that is the land of slavery, that there is satisfaction only with God. But what about these bones? Hebrews tells us that Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about his exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and it says he gave instructions about his bones. Now, if you remember right, the bones of Joseph's father, Jacob, were buried in the land of Canaan. Joseph also wanted to be buried in the land of Canaan. And at the end of the book of Genesis, as we read, Genesis 50, verse 26, so Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph wanted his bones buried in Canaan. What about all the other Israelites who died in Canaan? For 400 years they were in the land of slavery. For 400 years they lived and they died. Why wouldn't they want to go also be buried in Canaan? Why didn't all the Israelites order all their bones to be raised up and taken out of Egypt and buried in Canaan? Well, the answer is found in the book of Exodus. You turn the page. Exodus chapter 1 gives us an insight into this burial of Joseph and what the bones of Joseph meant for the Israelites. Exodus 1 verse 6. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous so that the land was filled with them. Then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave our country. You see, when Joseph died, we know that there was not a pyramid built for Joseph. How do we know? Because when that generation died out who remembered Joseph and all the things that Joseph had done for Egypt, what happened? The next generation, the next Pharaoh came along. He didn't know anything about Joseph. He put the people into slavery because they were becoming too fruitful, because they were becoming too powerful. And if there had been a pyramid built for Joseph, the Israelites could have pointed to the pyramid and say, look at that pyramid. Look at what has been left as a testimony to our father Joseph who lived here. He saved your people from death. Look to that pyramid. Remember Joseph. How can you put us in the land of slavery? And as a people who lived in Egypt, they could have also looked to that pyramid of the death of Joseph and they could have said, there is our hope. Our father Joseph, who saved the Egyptians, who did great things here, now he rests in the land of Egypt. And the Israelites would think, this is our home. Joseph is here. We must stay here. You see, for the people of Egypt, Joseph was their savior. Joseph, the son, persecuted for his righteousness, was tied up and bound and carried off to Egypt by his brothers, sold as a slave. Joseph, who lived in the land of Egypt, who for righteousness was persecuted by Potiphar's wife for not sleeping with her and was put into prison. Joseph, who was persecuted for righteousness, yet at the end of his life he became a ruler. And not only a ruler, and he was raised up as a great man in Egypt, but a blessing to all the nations. Joseph, the one who had gone ahead of his brothers to Egypt, who had saved their father Jacob and all of his family from death and dying of the famine, who saved them and brought them there. As the people for 400 years after the days of Joseph lived in the land of Egypt, they always looked to him as their savior. But what did they see when they looked at him? They saw a coffin. When the Egyptians started persecuting them and brought them into slavery, forced them to make bricks and all the things that they forced them to do, where did they look? They looked to the bones of Joseph. And Joseph had given the orders that someday his bones would leave with the Exodus. In that coffin they saw hope. In that coffin, they remembered the promise of Joseph, who had been their leader, and they said, look, our home is not here. We will be exodus from here, and we will go to heaven. Or we will go to Canaan. I'm sorry. But you know, how come Joseph didn't give the order when he died as his father did? His father Jacob said, bury me in the land of Canaan as soon as I die. And they buried him. Joseph didn't do that. Joseph said by faith in Hebrews, I want to leave with the people. Joseph was different in Jacob than Jacob in what Joseph did. Joseph lived with his people. Joseph saved his people. Joseph died with his people. Joseph wanted to exodus from the land with his people. Joseph wanted to go in the wilderness through the all thick and thin, all the things that they went through to get to the land. And Joseph's bones never rest until his people rest. At the end of the book of Joshua, the last few verses of the whole book, after the Israelites are settled in the land, Joseph's bones finally rest. The bones of Joseph, as they were in Egypt, were a constant reminder to the Israelites, he was our Savior. We don't need to raise up all the bones of all the people, because as we raise up Joseph, we raise up them all. As we look at that coffin, we know that this land is not our home, but God has a future land for us in the land of Canaan. As the Israelites looked at the coffin, we look at an empty tomb. They had a coffin of bones, and they were always reminded when they saw it that this was not their home, but that there was another land. We have greater knowledge. We have an empty tomb. We have a Savior who was persecuted for righteousness. We have a Savior who was sent to death, death on a cross. We have a Savior who was buried with us. We have a Savior who came out of that tomb. And as we look at that tomb, it is a constant reminder that this world is not our own. That this land of slavery that is all around us, with all of the temptations, with all of the wealth and all of the things that we can acquire, that this is not our home. But when we see that empty tomb, and we know that there is an empty tomb, and we believe that by faith, we testify that this world is not our home. There are liberal theologians who say, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, if we would find his bones someday, there would still be churches. Our answer is no. If Joseph had been buried in Egypt, if those bones had not stayed there, the people would not have looked to an exodus. As they looked at those bones, they saw the exodus. Joseph had to go with them because he was their Savior. He was the one who had saved them. As we look to the empty tomb of Jesus, we have a constant reminder that that is it. That there is someday going to be an exodus from this world. That Jesus is going to come and he is going to take us from this world as Joseph went with the Israelites. He is sojourning with us. He is with us as we go along, as we live our lives, as we struggle, as we go through different things. And he takes us where? To a land where we can again enjoy our earthly things that we have, our homes and the things that we enjoy. He takes us to the land of the living. A land of no death, a land of no pain, a land of no broken relationships. A land of perfect fellowship with God. When we go to the grave of a Christian, we do not see death, but we see hope. Because someday that person who died will rise. Why? Because we have an empty tomb. This morning, as we started out, you probably thought to yourself, how silly. Here these kings bury their army with them. Here's a king burying a servant, his slaves with him. He wants to have in the next life what he had in this life. Why doesn't he look to an empty tomb? But the question for you this morning is, where are you looking? Are you looking at an empty tomb? Or are you looking as the kings did? Are you trying to acquire things and enjoying your life on earth and wanting to have more and more and never content and happy with that empty tomb? Or is the empty tomb all that you need? Because you want the land of the living. You want the life that is with God. And so the question this morning is, do you have the faith of Joseph? Amen. Father in heaven, as we have looked at the faith of Joseph, we see his faith in an exodus, not in this earth. And Lord, as we live, it is so tempting to want things, to not be content in godliness, as the apostle writes about, but to want more of the land of slavery. And we thank you, Lord, that we can look to an empty tomb and know, because of that empty tomb, that the Lord Jesus has gone ahead of us to that land, and that someday, by the testimony of that empty tomb, we too can go. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to focus not on the things of this earth and not of the pleasures and the future we can have in this life, but to focus our hope, when we struggle, upon Christ and the land that he has for us. Lord, as Joseph wanted to leave, may we want to leave. Lord, may we want our bones not buried here forever for death and destruction, but may we want our bones to be in the land of the living, where they will be raised again. May we see, Lord, that the Garden of Eden, the fellowship with God, is what our desire is, not the things of this world. Lord, give us the strength, give us the faith to look to you always in hope and in righteousness. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.